So we want to basically today learn how to praise God. If we don't do it yet, what I want us to leave with here today is with an understanding what it looks like to praise God. And why should I praise God? And it's praise this for some people, also for everybody. And the question that I have this morning is that second slide, is the practice of praising God only for some? And I don't know about you, but I came from a traditional church setting where praising God wasn't really something that was even allowed. It wasn't really something that people would do. Scripture says, "Man, holy men always will lift up holy hands and praise God." And last week we were sharing about the Acts account of Paul and Silas. They were proclaiming God's word in Acts in Asia. They were going there, and there was a time where they were thrown in prison. It was saying that Paul and Silas, they were praising God, singing songs to the Lord, and praying. And the next moment, the earth quaked, and the prison doors opened, and the shackles fell off them. And they went, and then they were released, and the prison warder got saved, etc. But I believe it's the context, it's the principle, it's the weapon of praise that brought forth that release. And this morning, we want to do that. We want to practice that as a church community this morning. We want to praise God this morning. And if you are here today, that's the one thing I'm trusting God for. When we leave here today, we will be lifting up holy hands to God wherever we go, praising Him, establishing His presence, establishing His victories, His breakthroughs, where we go. So I'm going to give us a few principles. I'm going to keep it short because we want to practically apply what I'm going to say this morning. We want to spend some time in worship and praise this morning. And if you are here as a visitor, or if you are here and you haven't applied it this morning, I want to give you the motivation. I want to give you the keys, the encouragement that you need to walk out of here and being a praiser of God, a worshiper of God. Okay. Why do we praise God? What is the motivation for us? I would say a good one comes from Psalm 48 verse 1. It says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God." So simply, God is worthy of our praises. He's worthy of all of our praises. He's worthy of all of our adoration. And we will be doing it for eternity, like I shared earlier. Shake your neighbor and say, you're meant to praise God for eternity. That's what you were made for. Okay, so let's quickly look at a few reasons why, or a few principles of praise, what it brings forth. The first one, it's God's habitation. From Psalm 22 verse 3, "But you're holy, O you who dwell in the holy place where the praise of Israel are offered." So God is saying He basically indwells our praises. He comes and makes His dwelling place there where He's praised. I like this quote from Derek Prince on the next slide. "Praise is God's throne. Our praise does not make Him a king. He is a king, whether we praise Him or not. But when we praise Him, we offer Him His throne. We welcome Him and recognize His kingship. Praise is God's dwelling place and His throne." So today, as we are here in the service, we want to grant God a throne. And what I want to even extend this to is God wants to be enthroned everywhere. So it's not just here in the service today. It's where we go to our home and our families and our workplaces. We want to find people with whom together we can sing holy praises with hands lifted up to our God, because we want to enthrone God wherever we are. And what really encourages me about this is, you know, why do I come to church for on a Sunday? And there's a lot of good reasons why we can come to church for. But what about if this could be one of the primary reasons that we want to come and enthrone God when we come to church on a Sunday? We want to come here because we want to set a throne for Him. He's already king, but we want to say, "Here's your throne, Lord. You come and be amongst us. You come and enthrone. We want to enthrone you in this place." So God, you're on earth. We've got a choice to enthrone Him or not. We've got a choice to make Him king or not. And praises is one of the ways we show to the world that we enthrone our King. We acknowledge Him as our King. Is that exciting? I think it's very exciting. We can enthrone Him wherever we go. We can praise Him wherever we are. It's a way into His presence. Psalm 100 verse 4 to 5. "Enter His gates of thanksgiving, His courts of praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever in His faithfulness to all generations." There's a nice key in the scripture. It says it's a way we enter in, but it's actually three reasons why we can perennially, always, praise God. It says here, the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness the old generation. I think we can repeat it together. Repeat with me. Say, the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. And he is faithful to all generations. So even if you have no reason to praise God in the natural, he has three reasons that doesn't change. That stays permanent, stays eternal. Okay. It says in Isaiah 60 verse 8 as well, we will be rebuilding cities, and our gates will be praise, and our walls will be salvation. So one of the ways God is calling his church, his people, to rebuild these lit cities, ruined cities, is to praise him. Gates, that's one way we establish his reign, his restorative power, is through praise and salvation. Triumph and blessing, the next one. Just from Psalm 106, verse 47. Save us, O Lord, our God, and gather us from among the Gentiles. Give thanks to your holy name, to triumph in your praise. So in every area in our lives which we are called to be successful, God wants us to prosper in all things. One of the ways to usher in God's favor and his blessing and his success is to praise. Praise you, Lord, for going with me when I do your will. Exchange for heaviness. This is an important one. Isaiah 61, verse 1 to 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. This speaks about Jesus, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. And it says a few things that the Lord has come to do. And then the last one says, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. I don't know about you, but have you ever felt down in your life? Have you ever felt downcast? If you haven't, then come and speak to me. I want to know your recipe. But the reality is, God says the righteous will suffer. We will sometimes experience heaviness. We will experience tough things. But it says here, we can exchange that for a spirit of praise, you know. And I've experienced this many times in my life, and I really feel down. You know, God is causing me, like Don says, to just bring an offering of praise, a sacrifice of praise to him. And I don't know about you, if I'm praising God, I cannot be down. It's a very difficult thing to be done while you're lifting up the Lord's name. This is something about an exchange. This is something about a transaction that happens in that praise. So often in the church, you know, we go to a lot of ways of dealing with depression and of heaviness. But I think this should be the main way we deal with it. It's teaching people how to praise God, teaching people to be thankful, teaching people to enter into God's presence by praise. So God can give them a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. So today, if you're going through a tough time, I want to encourage you, when I'm finished here, trust the Lord to bring that despair and exchange it for a garment of praise. Trust the Lord for exchange. And it's a choice that we have to make. We have to say, Lord, I'm letting go of the heaviness. I don't want this heaviness. I want to praise you. I want to have a mantle of praise on me. Psalm 50 verse 23, salvation and deliverance. Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct right, I will show the salvation of God. Psalm 149, 69, let a high praise of God be in their mouth, and the two-edged sword in their hands, to execute vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. So God is, in a sense, ordained for his people to be the people that ushers in his reign, his judgment. He's executing on judgment on our enemies. And it doesn't speak necessarily about human judgment, judging humans. It speaks about transitioning the atmosphere. It speaks about cities and countries, companies, families. You know, if you want to see real change in an area, we need to learn to praise God. You know, ushering in his presence into a place is what we need to see the transformation, to see that change, to see the city change. If Durban is going to change for real, it's going to be a real revival, I believe praise and worship is going to be in the center of it. We're going to be a people that learn to put up God on the highest pedestal, to lift up the name of Jesus. It says if you lift up the name of Jesus, all men will be drawn unto him. And praise is one of the primary ways in which we can lift up Christ, we can lift up the kingdom, so that men and women can see and be drawn. There's an account in Chronicles where this is a reality. Judah, Israel at that time was divided into two groups, Judah and in Israel. And Judah was under siege, and basically they were outnumbered. They were basically going to be wiped from the earth. The king declared a fast. On the fast, God gave them a strategy of worship to split the army into ranks of worship and of praises, and to go to march on the enemy. And this is what was basically the command that the prophet gave them. He said, let Psalm 49:69, he said, let high praise of God be in their mouth. Sorry, got the wrong one here. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 21 to 23. And when he had taken counsel of the people, he appointed those who were singing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army, and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end to the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped to destroy one another. So basically, the army didn't fight. They just had ranks of worship. They had an army of worshippers marching in front of the army. And God routed the enemy, and basically they self-destructed. And when I look at circumstances that we sometimes face, sometimes we cannot overcome our enemy. Sometimes circumstances we cannot even change. But God can. And one of the ways we invite God into circumstances is say, God, I will praise you besides the situation. There's a scripture in Habakkuk where he says, although the fig tree will not blossom, although the troughs will be empty, I will still praise my God. And that is kind of the character. That's the self-control God is calling us as his people to exercise, knowing that God will come true. And these are the four or five lessons that we can just learn from that scripture and Chronicles. It says the enemy mounted against him with impossible odds. God's people had to fight fear with praise. They worshiped the Lord as a weapon of war. Then their enemies turned against themselves. And the resultant, it says later in that scripture, all the nations around them were afraid of the great might of Israel. What would it be like if people in Durban knew us as a people of great might because the Lord is in our midst, because the way we praise him, the way he comes true, because we lift up his name, we lift up holy hands up to him and declare him worthy, glorious, all-sufficient, all-powerful. Psalm 8 verse 2, out of the mouths of babes and infants, you establish strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. So once again, it's a place not of professionalism. It says you're out of the mouths of babes. I don't know if you've ever seen kids, but when music plays, they just go along with it. You know, they know how to worship. They know how to praise. And God is calling us not to be professional Christians. You don't have to have a credential as a worship leader to praise God. He's calling all of us to do it in whatever way is possible to you. The next point I have here, it's a necessary sacrifice acceptable to God. Like Don shared earlier, Hebrews 13, verse 15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. One of the ways the world will know that we belong to Jesus is the way we relate to him in circumstances. Do people know that you give thanks to him even when things are tough? Do people see Jesus in you by the way you relate to him? Difficult times. I believe it's one of the main signs that we are Christians. It's not that our lives are necessarily more ordered or that we have more breakthroughs or things are better. I believe those things are true. God wants to give us breakthroughs. But actually the sign of us truly be Christians is when we go through a real tough time that we can still be thankful. We can still trust in our God. We can still offer our praise to him. I believe that is one of our greatest testimonies. You know, that we can praise him no matter what happens. We have that as a discipline in our lives. You know, we shared last week about Paul and Silas. Things were really tough. They were thrown in prison. What did they do in prison? After they were beaten, by the way. They weren't just thrown in prison. Prisons in those times were dungeons in a deep, deep, dark, cold hole, you know. And they were beaten up, so they were probably quite broken. What did they do? They were praying and singing hymns to God. So are you able to pray and sing hymns to God when things are not going well, not going the way you thought it would? And I believe that's what God is calling us to. When things are not happening, instead of fixing things, God is firstly calling us to praise him, to worship him. It's a sign that we belong to him. Okay, so what it also means is praise doesn't come naturally. I don't know, do you feel like praising God when things don't go your way? No, it doesn't. That's why it's called a sacrifice of praise. It's not necessarily a sacrifice in the bigger economy, because how can it ever be a sacrifice? But what it means is God is asking us to choose it. It's a discipline. It's a choice. It's something I say, I will do it even if I don't feel it. I will do it even if things don't look like it. Even if I don't feel like I even have the ability, I will choose to worship Him. And like I said earlier, it doesn't have to be some specific professional utterance. It can just be saying, God, You're faithful. God, You're good. God, You're true. You're faithful to the end. God is just asking us sometimes to be simple like children. Just saying, God, doesn't matter what I'm facing, You're still good. God, doesn't matter what I'm going through, You're faithful. God, I will praise You, because that's just what I was made for all the days of my life. So when we go through a dry season, I want to encourage you. If you're trusting God for things that's not coming true, don't stop praising God. There's a place where we come to where we want to stop praising God when things are terry. You know, like Habakkuk, though the fig tree doesn't blossom, although the troughs are empty, I will still praise my God. And like I shared, I think it was 3 weeks ago, what is the biggest thing that you can lose on this earth? What would be the thing that if you lost it will break you completely? And I think this is God kind of appointed to us. If we lose our faith, then we don't praise anymore. It's your faith, your greatest asset. It's your faith, your greatest thing here on earth. And if your faith is your greatest thing, then hold on to it with all your might and praise God. Okay, some praise directives. I'm keeping it short this morning. Here's some directives, and I want to encourage you with these. What does the Bible say about praise? Who should praise? How should we praise? What does praise look like? And how can we learn from Scripture? Okay? If that's a way of life, this is the sum point. This is obviously not all conclusive. Psalm 145 verse 2. I will praise You every day. Yes, I will praise You forever. So it speaks about praise being a lifestyle. Praise is not something I do at Sunday church. It's something that I take with me. It doesn't have to be in song always. It can be something that's just in your heart. You know, I remember when I just met my wife. It was good more than 10 years ago now. I remember we used to cycle, you know, and I was kind of newly spirit-filled at that time. So everything was just beautiful to me. And I'm thinking back to that time and now in my life, and I've kind of forgotten to enjoy things like I used to then. You know, when I see something beautiful, I would say, oh God, it's beautiful. The desert is beautiful. Sunrise is amazing, Lord. The clouds are amazing. I don't know if you've ever had that season in your life where being a Christian makes everything wonderful and beautiful. And I believe that's what praise should do in our lives. It should bring us back to the awe of God. Everything just becoming beautiful. Everything becoming greater than my circumstances. You know, at that time, things are always also not wonderful necessarily in every area of my life. But I just remember everything I saw was just amazing. Psalm 63 verse 4. So I will bless You as long as I live. In Your name I will lift up my hands. For us who come from a traditional background, lifting up our hands can be a challenge, you know. But I want to encourage you. That's one of the ways we exact praise to God. I sometimes walk in the streets and then I just feel, God, I'm going to lift up my hands now. And then I walk and I just say, God, I praise You. I don't care who sees me now. You know, I don't know if you've had moments like that. But I want to encourage you. If you don't lift up your hands to God, your hands, your body, your whole being is meant to give praise to God. God wants to teach us to, even when you don't feel like it, you know, when we're depressed or down, or discouraged, what does it look like? Our heads are down, our shoulders are shrunk down. So one of the ways to get out of that is just get your body to work with. You know, get your body to engage with what you want to do. You know, the emotions might follow later on. And not all of us are dancers, not all of us are professional singers, but all of us can praise God. Okay. You know, not all of us are supposed to lead worship, but all of us can praise God. Okay, I'm not supposed to lead worship, that's for sure. And also, holy hands speaks about surrender. It speaks about all. You know, there's a few things that can express who God is, like our bodies. You know, our voices can express to a certain extent, but when the All Blacks come and play against South Africa and the Springboks score a try, I don't know about you, but people don't just sit and say, yay. You know, people jump. I sometimes sit at my house and the rugby is on and somebody watches next door and I just, ah, You know, people jumping up. So no. Okay, Springboks must have scored a try. You know, so if that's the response of the things that make us joyful, how much more should our bodies engage? Because so even people that are most astute and drawn back, the bodies get engaged when they're passionate about something. So when they're passionate about the Lord, let your body get involved. Psalm 111 verse 1, praise the Lord, I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart and the company of the upright and the congregation. This is a powerful scripture because it says God wants us to engage. You know, so we can praise God and we can be distant from it, absent from it. Or we can say, God, I'm going to forget about everything and I'm going to engage my whole heart in it. I'm going to choose to lay things aside. And today, I'm going to love you with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. I'm going to give it all. Put it all in. When I put up worship in the morning, I'm going to look for a space at my house where I can give it all and put God first. You know, I believe God wants the church to come back to that place where we're sold out and we don't care about what the world thinks. Okay? And it says here, in the company of the upright, in the congregation. You know, traditional church has sometimes become a place where there's like protocol. You know, the church I grew up in, you know, if you did anything out of the accepted norm, that was really bad. You know, you would be in trouble. You know, if you would go in there and dance and sing, it would be trouble. And I believe that's a religious spirit that inhibits us from really praising God, from really having a breakthrough, from really seeing God come true. So I'm going to encourage you. Maybe you grew up in a situation like that. Maybe you never expressed your love to God. But once again, like little children, just allow God for you to be like a little child. You know, when I put music on in the house, Christopher just starts jumping by himself. You know, he doesn't have to be taught. He just does it. And God says sometimes we must come to him like children. So when we praise God, just follow that which is in your heart. What does praise draw from your heart? It draws forth expression. It draws forth your body to get engaged. You want to jump and you sing. You say, my God, it's good. If you don't feel it, just say it till you feel it. You know, that's what God is calling us. In the congregation of the upright, in the company. We shouldn't be afraid amongst each other to express our praise to God. And I wanted to say, you've got a full license to express yourself in this church. You know, if you want to dance, you can dance. If you want to scream to the Lord, scream to the Lord. You know, say his name, declare his praise in the congregation. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. Engage your heart in the process. Don't worry about what people will think. Psalm 149 is free. Let him praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. So here's another principle. We can use instruments. You know, if God gives you creativity to use the instrument, you know, at home it might not be an instrument. You might just, you know, jump up and down on a wooden floor. Or there might be something, a pot you can hit or something. Just do it. Just do it. You know, make a noise unto the Lord. And dancing. You know, I'm also not a person that should dance in public. But, you know, dance before the Lord. You know, trust the Lord. If it's just jumping up and down, if whatever it might be to you, just allow the Lord to get caught up in the moment. There's an account in the Bible where David, the tabernacle, comes back to Israel. And David, the scripture says he became undone. He was dancing before the tabernacle, you know, because he was so excited about God's presence. And earlier we were speaking about praising his God comes in and dwells it. So if you're really excited about what our praises do, then we will probably start to dance like David did. We'll start to become undone. And I promise you, I'm not the kind of person that likes to do those kind of things. But the Lord has taught me to do that. And I want to encourage you as well. God can do it in your life. I remember when I left Ronnebosch, I was in a church called Ronnebosch, or Shofar Ronnebosch, before I came to Durban. And the one guy, before we left, he said this funny thing. Before Ronnebosch, we were in Gardens, 2007. And he said when he joined Gardens Church, there was always this guy that used to sing completely off note. You know? And then he said it was you. So, because I just worshiped the Lord. I didn't realize people could hear me singing. So I was saying, praise the Lord. I still worship the Lord, even if I was completely off note. And I still sometimes probably off note. But who cares, you know? It's about the Lord. The Lord really doesn't care. He cares about is your heart in it. You can be the most beautiful vocalist or instrument player, but God is looking for the heart. Okay. Okay, so And then the last one here. Let me just get to it. Last two, Psalm 36. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we should be praising the Lord, everybody. It's not for some, like I said in the beginning. Everybody. And God's heart is not just for us here in church. He wants the whole city. You know, when there's revival, people will spontaneously starting to say, God, it's glorious. And I know who was here when Tien's Paul shared his testimony a few weeks ago. Instinctively, he just lifted his hand to God when he got saved. He got saved supernaturally in his flat. He just prayed and he got saved. He didn't have the word. God placed, put praise in his hands. He just started worshiping God, just instinctively. You know, so God wants to put that in people's hearts. Psalm 15 verse 17, the dead cannot sing praises to the Lord. I just thought to add that. But scripture says, when we're dead, we cannot sing praise to God. So we've got limited time to sing praise to God. And if you really want to read into that scripture, if you cannot praise to God, maybe something that needs to become alive in your life. Something needs to be resurrected. Something must be reborn. And God wants to do that today. He wants to make you alive. He wants to come and give you new life. And sometimes it means I just choose. I say, God, I will lift you up with holy hands. I want to come alive in you. I want to forget what people think. I want to let go of the things that hinders me. I want to let go of things that hold me. And I want to praise you. And I want to leave us with this last scripture, just for us as a church or a congregation. Isaiah 56, verse 6 to 7. And the foreigners will join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. And you probably have heard it before, that God's house will be called a house of prayer. And I read a book this recently from a lady called Cindy Jacobs. And she says the word prayer here is a Hebrew word called tephila. And it basically speaks of a hymn. A hymn sung unto the Lord, a prayer hymn sung unto the Lord. So when it speaks of the house of God being a house of prayer, it also speaks of a house of praise. Prayer and praise are, in a sense, combined. It's in a sense, interlinked. When we praise God with high praises, we're also singing a prayer unto God. So one thing that should be present in a house of God that's living and active is prayer and praise. You know, praises being sung as prayers unto God. And that's what God wants to establish amongst us. That's what he is establishing amongst us. And that's what he's establishing in our hearts. I want to encourage you this morning. So band, you can come forward. So I wanted us to, this morning, just think through what it means to praise God. And then I want us to have the liberty. I want to give you a license to praise God. Obviously, it's between you and the Lord this morning. But you know, trust the Lord today. Maybe you don't feel like it. Maybe circumstances are not conducive to it. But say, God, I will bring a sacrifice of praise to you. Maybe this morning you need a breakthrough in an area of your life. Maybe this morning you've got something that needs to shift. And instead of focusing on that thing that needs to shift, say, Lord, I'm going to focus on you. I'm going to bring this thing to you and praise. I'm going to say, you are the shift I need. You are my King. You're the King of glory. You're the one that establishes Israel on their praises. He establishes his kingdom, his reign, his people on their praises. You know, for God to change the world, like we read last week, Paul and Silas and Timothy, they were free people. Free people that went into Asia. They were fewer than us. You know, and upon their praises, God shifted to people's hearts and the church was born in Asia, you know. The prison warder and the woman at the river, Lydia, the two of them, they left after a few weeks because those two people were touched by God, because God opened their hearts. Lives were changed. And I want to encourage you today, God will do the same in and through your lives. When God wants to ask us to, notwithstanding our circumstances, because when we read the Acts account, those apostles went through tough times. You know, they were suffering, but also a lot of people were transformed in very short spaces of time. One day, 3,000 were saved. You know, one day, you know, just 2 days before that, a person was stoned to death. You know, so there was always this tension tension between suffering, praising God, and God doing amazing things. In their midst, let's pray. Father, can everybody stand as well? Let's stand. And maybe while we pray, let's lift our hands to the Lord. This is a sign. Say, God, I'm yours, Lord. I want to praise you, Lord. I don't know what it looks like. Father, I sometimes don't feel like it. Lord, I don't know how to praise you sometimes. I don't even know what to say sometimes. But God, you said you pour out your spirit into our hearts, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Your word says there will be a day where we worship you in spirit and in truth. You'll pour out your spirit in us and you will cause us to spirit you. Worship you in spirit and truth. And I pray that today with this congregation, Lord, we will worship you this morning in truth, but also with our emotions, also with our bodies, also in the spirit, Lord. And we give you the right spirit of the living God to come in us, come through us. Father, come besides us. Come and establish your praise. Come and establish your reign. We want to enthrone you today. We say, Father, on our praises, we enthrone you, Lord Jesus. We enthrone you. Come and have your way. Have your way, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I was just reminded as Manus was preaching, just regarding the Hebrew way, or the Hebrew language has 7 ways of really worshiping God, and one of them is called Shabbat, and it's sometimes one that's really needed in our day and ages. It's the one that says to shout forth, to command. And what that sometimes means is that we have to worship, or scripture teaches us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, to worship him in spirit. And that spirit, you know, sometimes we don't feel like we want to, sometimes we don't feel like we want to engage, and that's where we get the Shabbat, to shout forth, to command our spirit into action, to command our spirit to worship the Lord, to stir up our spirits that we can worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And in that, to bring forth all that we are before him. Because if you imagine someone that shouts forth, they are shouting with everything inside of them to bring forth this offering of praise. So let's come before the Lord as living sacrifices, that we would place all we are on the altar before the Lord, and we would shout forth to him. And that with Tehillah, we'll sing new praises, new songs to him. We can yada, lift up our hands and praise him. So let's do that. Let's stir up our faith this morning. Let's really worship God in spirit and in truth from the depths of all we are.